think that even takes away the meaning from someone who actually
wants to tell you.
Wants to know how you're doing.
Yes. So what can we say other than how are you doing? That would indicate that we care.
Good to see you today.
Yeah.
Good to see you today. And, well, if we really, good to see you today is good, but if we really want to know how they're doing, we could just basically rephrase, how are you? To what? There you go. What's going on in your life? That's a question that people will think, well, I think he wants to know. And I'll tell him. So, you know, we are programmed to say, how you doing? And we're also programmed when we hear, how you doing? What do we say? Do we have to see ya? Yeah. So do we have to, do we think there's, they care about an answer? We might not even stop walking. Fine. Mm, on we go. Yeah. So.
It goes along, Mark, with everything that we, I know we talked about it in this church here, and I don't know if this is class or what class it was, but I know I've heard people say about it, but our life, what they were talking about with if you're real or not, is it your checklist in your life just to say, how are you doing? Is it your checklist of life just to come to church on a Sunday morning? Is it your checklist just to pretend like you're a Christian? You know, just kind of doing, just like Buckley was talking about with his knowing the Bible, but do you really act like the Bible? I mean, are you real? It's pretty much the kind of, are you real in this life or what you know you should be?
Right. Yeah, very good. It's an action verb.
Absolutely.
All verbs are action, Peter.
I have Egypt there. Yeah. I love you, show
it. Exactly.
I ask different people, I'll say, for a dog or a friend, what are you going to do excited today? And most of them say, well, nothing, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of them will say, well, I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do.
So, yes, Sam? is one of them that does. When you walk up to somebody and you really care, then you're denying yourself. You're offering your body as a living sacrifice to God by asking, how are you getting along today? And because that takes, you're taking away from yourself to do that. Okay, you guys are doing great. Yes, Sam. Right. No. Well, that's enough. In those circumstances, it's real. You don't want to be not real. You don't want to be hypocritical. So if you don't want to know how their day is going, you should just say, hi, Michael. Hi, Sam. You know, hi, George. And you're not, that's real. You're not asking something that you really don't care about. And you know the thing that I come up with, remember a lot when we're talking about things like this, is people don't know. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And so, what kind of relationship are you going to have when people don't know you care? It's not going to be very good. They need to know you care. Then, they will care what you know. Buckley.
I had a person get in a taxi one day. And they are a church person. And when they were done, I mentioned something about the drama, and I ended up praying with them. Now, what we're talking about are opportunities for prayer right here. That's how we show people that we really do love them. If they're having a bad time, a bad thing, pray for them. If they don't know what their gift is, pray with them. Say, hey,
you know, they just went to the next step for me in my mind. When you say, how are you getting along today? And they tell you, oh my goodness, what if they need something? What if, you know, there's a concern, a real deal concern? You go, well, nice to talk to you, and off you go. You know, you should have a plan. Like Buckley said, you should be able to at least pray with them. You should.
Yeah.
That's right. Right. That's right. Right there. On the spot. I'll pray for you. I don't know how many times I've said that. And I realized later, wait, I haven't done that. And then I think, well, how many times have I not done that in a timely manner and forgot to do it? That makes me not feel good about that. Go ahead, Peter.
I have two thoughts. The first one is, whenever I go, you know, I'm in a very public social situation, and my standard greeting to people is, especially in the morning, good morning, hug them, and ask them how they're doing that morning. And you know, usually it's always morning, I'm tired of anything like that. But sometimes there will be one or two people who had a bad morning. And they will describe, they were the pitch, whatever happened to me. And I said, what was anything I can do to help make your day a little easier, a little brighter? And usually just by asking that, they're taken aback because they're like, they're used to people listening to what they have to say, but never taking action. So if you ask someone that and they say, oh, well, there's nothing really you can do to help them, like, oh, okay. I usually pray for that person, and then later in the day, I ask them, how are you doing now? And every
that after they board and told you what's going on, they're taken aback because they're not used to people remembering what they actually said whenever you asked them, hey, can I help you, or what's going on? Second, oftentimes, whenever I talk to other Christians or non-believers at school or in public situations, I talk about what I call a religious split personality. Are you a different person at church, at school, at work, and at home? Or are you just a different person at church and everybody and everywhere else? You see, because we get in this mentality that when I'm at church, I'm a church person. When I'm not at church, you know, that doesn't get depicted as much. And I see that all the time, you know. I'm searching for other Christians at school to have conversations with, and a lot of kids will be like, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church. And then I look at what they're doing and how they're acting, and I feel like that's where some of the whole, well, they're hypocrites comes from. Because they see people that go to church and claim to be Christians. And then they see that way they live and act outside of church. And they think, that doesn't line up. So when you bring that up to people, especially teenagers, when you say, why are you living one way here, and another way here, and another way here? Why are you not the same consistent person? And that's not being real. Like we've been talking about. Being real isn't being a different person everywhere you go with different people in a different set. Being real is, I can do the same way. Church, home, school, work, wherever I'm at, out in public by myself, in the mall, at a restaurant, anywhere I go, I am the same person.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
I know how you are here, Peter. I can believe that you're the same at school. I sure can. Crazy all over. What we have to consider also is that the way we interact with people, are they going to see it real? We're talking about some of the things we can do and say to be real and to make it real. Is their perception, is that going to work? We need to think about that. Because we want to be real to the people we come in contact with. Sam.
Most frequent question I get from people that they're upset about it. They just don't understand. They're confused. Because they are used to people giving up on them. And whenever we think about love, yes, we're talking about these conversations, you know, short term, these things, and they're having one conversation. But if you keep going back and you are a consistent, loving, caring person in their life, that they're going to notice that. Because people who are unlovable, they were lovable at one time. And then they had an experience with someone, or something happened, or they were brought up in such a way that they learned to not accept help from other people, or accept love. And so whenever I encounter someone like that, who you would title unlovable, or what I title as someone who has been conditioned,
even on their own.
Oh yes, even on their own. They tell themselves, oh, I don't need this, or I don't want this, or I can't accept this. I just keep showing up. And so finally, with one person, they got to the point where they're like, why do you keep coming back? And I'm like, why not? You know, you haven't done anything to not make me want to come back. You know, you're a good person, and I see that. And I tell them that I care about them, and now I'm there for them. And eventually, they have all started to accept that. Or if they haven't accepted it, they've stopped pushing back. And it's not like I push you in their face like, oh, I will love you and you will accept it. It's very subtle things. You know, there's people that other kids won't talk to because they are that way. I seek them out and have normal conversations. Conversations that would be abnormal to them because they just don't interact.
Right.
They never have the chance to be loved. You know what I'm saying, Mark?
Yeah, I do. Joe.
I know of a situation where in the church where a sister gave a teenager, he was probably 18 or 19 years old, a kidney. He had diabetes. He had a drug problem. And, you know, I loved that kid, but I didn't like him. Because there were things about him that were not like him. But I did love him. And I think, generally speaking, that was the attitude of most people that I met that ever said anything about their relationship with that kid. And this woman was just like any of these women sitting in here, just sitting in the pew, and she just thought, I'm going to go get checked and see if I'm a match. She did, she was. She gave the kid, he's dead. He died 2 years later from not taking care of every bit of his life because he abused himself without taking care of his diabetes and drugs and alcohol. And so everything went south and died. But when I look at that example, you know, there are folks that make you things that you don't like in the church. Things like personality, whatever. You know, some people get pretty hard. You look at them and you think, you know, that person looks like they would really like to kill them just by the way they look, you know. And so you avoid them, or you avoid them because they said something a little weird one time. Just a little weird one time. And so then you start avoiding them. But like and love are different things. You don't really have to like everything about me, but you do have to love me. That's the rule.
That is the rule.
Yeah.
Okay. Shirley. Ten minutes. Okay, Shirley, did you come before Wyatt? Go ahead, Shirley.
Okay. What I would say, lots of times people are on mobile on these issues because they have so much trauma and stress and all of these things in their life, and they want people in a shell, they want to be in a shell, they don't want to be hurt again.
We were going to discuss the causes of that. But thank you, Shirley. What about you, Wayne?
Sometimes life causes so much damage that love is negative. And so you build a wall because they heard me behind that wall, but love is not damaging you.
Amen.
love is not always this thing where it's portrayed as love and it's not. And so sometimes not the person's unlovable, they're protecting themselves with love to be passed in to them.
Painful. Love has been painful in their past. But the love, as you said, may not have been real. So do you think that our real love can bring those people around?
Yes. I think most times it can, but I think sometimes, in some cases, the damage is too far gone that it won't change.
Okay. Peter. He really cares. Why not leave it up?
Like what I said, that wall is most of the time built because love, the love that is portrayed to them, is not the love that this verse or these verses are talking. It's a completely different type of love. They might portray love. See, in the worldly aspect of things, whenever people hear the word love, they think, you know, romantic stuff like that. Not God's love for us and our love for other people. And so, the real love that we can show them and that we have for other people and that we have, because we are Christians, we have God's love, that real love is not as affected by that wall. Yes, it is harder to portray it because that wall is there, but in our actions, there's a way to portray real love to them. That they will be confused because they have this perception of what love is, and then that won't go against that love. It's a different.
Yeah. Well, you guys did great this morning. We're 4 minutes over already. And the bonus to me is I'm still prepared for next week. So we're going to have a prayer. Heavenly Father,